Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. You know if you join us on a regular basis that the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as a self-economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar on design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, and workforce development training companies, which are African-American owned, to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar and renewable energy projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know that this show is brought to you every week by the Black sports legend BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Now, you can also, you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization, which I am now still the sitting president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have put together a very, very, I think, informative show for our listening audience today. I want to apologize for not being with you on last week, but we had some water problems in our offices here, and it sort of shut us down for a minute. But we're back on the air now. Now, week's show, we don't have a scheduled guest, but we do have, as I've indicated, a number of interesting topics. And the first one leading off today is the U.S. Department of Energy Equity Action Plan. Now, the lead contact person is Mrs. Shalana H. Baker. She's the Secretarial Advisor on Equity for the U.S. Department of Energy. And you can get, as I've indicated, you can get more information on that by logging on to positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You want to click on our news and events link, and you'll scroll down, and you'll see U.S. Department of Energy Equity Plan Agency Lead. This is Shalanda H. Baker, Secretary of Advisor on Equity. Now, to sort of give you some lead about what we're talking about, this is the new Biden's administration, which they put out an executive summary. The Department of Energy, hereinafter known as DOE, is responsible for ensuring that the nation's security and prosperity by addressing its energy, environmental, and nuclear challenges through transformative science and technology solutions. DOE maintains the nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. It reduces the threat of nuclear proliferation, oversees the nation's energy supply, leads the nation in areas federally sponsored basic research critical to the U.S. innovation and international competitiveness, carries out the environmental cleanup from the Cold War and nuclear missions, and maintains those sites and operates 17 national laboratories. The department's mission areas touch upon equity and provide an opportunity to advance justice from the household grappling with issues of energy burdens and energy insecurity to the universities, advancing basic research with department funds and the business and community-based organizations that partner with DOE to deliver its mission. The department has an extraordinary reach. The executive order, I want you to be very, very clear about this executive order that the Biden administration launch is 13985, advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government, provides an opportunity for the department to examine its internal process and programs to ensure that underserved groups to access DOE resources and stand up on new programs for better serve communities. The EO Executive Order 1395 provides an opportunity for the department to continually strive for equity across its mission areas. However, these actions and ongoing efforts will position DOE as a critical partner within all of the government approaches to tackling the climate crisis. The Executive Order 13985 focuses on equity within the department's functions and programs. It dovetails with the department's efforts to ensure 40% of the benefits of its clean energy efficiency and climate programs flow to underserved communities. The Justice Initiative, Justice for the Initiative, and provides a blueprint for delivering on its historically Justice for the Initiative. I have some serious issues with the Department of Energy around this whole piece on this executive order, as well as the Justice for the Initiative. Yours truly, if you've been following this program, you're aware that the National Association of Blacks and Solar, NABS, we successfully pulled together in a team to go after an $18 million grant, which the lead fiduciary in this grant process is Tougaloo College in Mississippi. Now, we have, in fact, put together a proposal which was submitted called Sustainability, Solar Sustainability Across America, which our partners with this org, who partnered in this grant was Power 52, which is led by Mrs. Cherie Brooks out of, they're located in Howard County, but they work specifically targeting workforce development training for inner city Baltimore to train our young people to become PV installers and energy auditors, people in that area. We have Global Apprentices out of Atlanta, Georgia. Their organization is basically a placement organization that works with the Department of Labor to place people in job opportunities once they have the training. We have WDC Solar here in Washington, D.C., which is one of the founding members of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, led by Mr. Mark Davis. They are a partner in this grant proposal, as well as Ms. Chanel Manafort, who's based in Columbus, Georgia. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, yours truly is the president and founder of that, and Mr. Richard Corley with Richard Corley Enterprises. They're all partners, and we applied for an $18 million grant, and we are in a competitive process for this grant. The Department of Commerce under the EDA had $3 billion, or has $3 billion, which will go out to 50 grantees, but they received a request, proposal request, $10.8 billion. There were 509 applications that were submitted in the offering that was put out through DOE. And my question to DOE, EDA Commerce, if this is a competitive grant and Tougaloo College, North Carolina A&T, Tennessee State, Purview, and I think maybe one other HBCU, you only had five BCUs who applied for the grant, what is the opportunity of them, in fact, getting one of these grants? And this is where I say we'll see what the Executive Order 13985, because we're going to raise this to the next level and what the Justice 40 Initiative really means. As As I've said on this platform, where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden plan? And if you begin to do the research and do the numbers and go to my website and look at our database, the information that comes from the federal agencies says this ain't no equity. Okay? The Justice 40 Initiative across these 40 agencies, what does that really mean when our companies are not positioned to go after these grants? You have to apply to get this money, and it is a competitive process. So with that being said, I know that there are specifically points that you receive for being what they call a minority in the point system. But if we're going to really open this green economy and this renewable energy sector up, because it spans over so many different areas, we have EV charge infrastructure. August 1, all states must submit a plan as to where these charging stations will be put on their interstates, county by county, where the interstate highways go through. The question is, how many African Americans who are private landowners or farmers will be able to benefit from this? We raise these issues because we think that these issues need to be raised. Now, this article went on to say that the executive order 1395 in implementing the secretary advises on equity, the SAE first stood up an executive steering committee comprised of senior leaders from across the Department of Energy complex. The executive steering committee then embarked on a year-long comprehensive process to access the whole DOE activities in following areas: procurement, financial assistance, research and development, demonstration and deployment, and stakeholder engagement. Now, I'm very, very concerned about the stakeholder engagement because they set up a grant that says, okay, it's no money in it for you, but if you have a podcast, well, how we've been doing this for 6 years. We need help here for this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I can't step to Dr. Kathy Hughes, the owner of the Urban One Radio Network, and her flagship station is based here in my market demographics, WOL 1450 AM and 95.9 FM, and ask them, well, I need a 90-minute time slot to educate the African-American community on the renewable energy industry. From the legislative side to green hydrogen to the building of wind, solar, and other applications as it relates to the African-American community and businesses being able to get a part of these industries, such as the EV charge industry. These are issues of discussion that aren't going to go away. Now, we're going to look at the department. And I, as I indicated, has focused on these areas. The executive steering committee members lead six teams comprised of 150 of the Department of Energy staff and managers representing a diverse cross-section of DOE's programs and support functions. Each working group then provides its top priorities, which were based on an in-depth assessment of barriers to accessing DOE's programs. From the list of priorities, the SAE determined the following top five department priorities, actions to advance equity at DOE. Number one, address broad gaps in data collection and facilitate data informed decision making. Number two, increase opportunities for new entrants in DOE's acquisition, procurement, and financial assistance. These are the things that were proposed. Number three, increased participation by individuals and institutions from underserved DOE, RDA, and other programs supported through financial assistance. Expand tribal and stakeholder engagement in all DOE business areas. Number five, improve access and equity in DOE's weatherization assistance programs. Now, they go on to talk about their accomplishments. We're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because we're going to, like I said, take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan, change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airwaves Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, I'm your host, Ronald DeFay. And as we were talking about this Justice Party initiative, last year, 2021, the National Association of Blacks and Solar, we reached out to Jennifer Granholmes at the Department of Energy to ask her to address all of our African-American-owned solar installation design and renewable energy companies in a webinar where we could specifically speak directly to Mrs. Holmes. Scheduling secretary came up with this off-the-wall excuse talking about there's a scheduling mishap. It wasn't a scheduling mishap. The issue is they really didn't want to address NAB and our request, because that would provide legitimacy for the National Association of Blacks and Solar. Well, I say now, and I say, and I say again, because she didn't respond does not mean that we're not a legal entity and a voice that speaks out on behalf of African-American and the African-American community, talking about the lack of investment and opportunity for our African-American solar installation and design firms. And it's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. I'm not making this out. Based on the research that we were able to get from the Solar Foundation, our over 9,000 solar renewable energy companies doing business in the U.S., we have less than 35 African-American-owned firms. Now, you do the math and the percentages. That is a national disgrace. But here we have folks who don't look like black folk. I was just on another webinar this morning with AEEE, which is another group, policy group based here in Washington, D.C. They were talking about battery storage. And when they got to equity, they asked, how we involve African Americans and communities of color as relates to giving them opportunity to participate in this growing battery storage industry, which is going to be a major issue, ladies and gentlemen, because as the proliferation of electric vehicles come on the street, These electric cars, what runs them? The batteries. Well, those batteries are going to have to be what? Replaced. That means somebody's going to have to do what? Recycle those batteries and remanufacture those batteries and put them back out in the marketplace for use. How are we going to be involved in this process when we're not even at around the table to hear the discussion, and basically we'll be relegated to beg somebody for a job? And that was the thinking of what came out of this whole discussion as I listened to people who didn't look like me, okay, today, before I came on this podcast. Now, the Department of Energy indicates that their early accomplishments to the executive order of 13985 commenced equity-related activity. Early accomplishments include conducting a crowdsourcing campaign to identify barriers for underserved groups faced within the procurement space. Well, hell, nobody I know was, or in our companies I know, was a part of this. I'm not saying there weren't some African Americans a part of this, but nobody I know. And I know everybody, just about everybody in the game. Number two, establishing a pilot program to incorporate equity-centered provisions into funding opportunity announcements. Number three, creating a process within the Office of Indian Energy to facilitate the reduction of cost shared for tribes requesting cost share waivers. Initiating a first of its kind pilot program to provide an in-depth technical assistance to low-income communities engaged in energy transition activities and a pathway to equitable clean energy deployment. And number five, diversifying the department outreach efforts to highlight diversity, equity, and inclusion and reaching media outlets that serve underserved groups. Well, there's not one other podcast or radio program that speaks to the issues that I address on a weekly basis. Nobody's contacted me. So I guess, and I know that they know who I am and this platform and about this show. Procurement Crowd, DOE, co-sponsored a crowdsourcing campaign with the Office of Federal Procurement Policy to determine barriers to bring businesses with the federal government to ensure participation by historically underserved groups located in underserved communities. DOE and OFPP conducted targeted outreaches focuses on reaching business owners who are people of color, persons with disabilities, service disabled owned businesses, veteran owned businesses, business owners located in historically underserved business zones such as HUD zones and rural areas, certified businesses, CBEs, that's what they're called, certified business enterprises, women-owned small businesses, WOSBs, small disadvantaged businesses, SBD, community development, are nonprofit minority-serving institutions, including Asian American, Native American, Pacific Island institutions, Alaska-serving and Native Historic-serving institutions, historically Black colleges and universities. This is a joke. That's really not funny, because they put all this information that they've done all this. I can't track it. When you reach out to these HBCUs, it's not happening. Now, I'm going to continue to beat the drum about this. The campaign consisted of two phases. During phase one, from June 1st through the 15th, 2021, 75 respondents provided thoughts on what barriers exist doing business with the federal government. The top barrier response included difficulty locating DOE opportunities, cumbersome federal acquisition rules, process and concepts including how to do business with federal agencies, lack of data for DOE to understand equity gaps and opportunities, unnecessary restrictive multi-year contracts, and applicant resource constraints. Financial information, technology, and human capital. Phase two went from November the 8th through the 19th of 2021. Focus on solutions to these five barriers with respondents contributing 540 votes on solutions to the barriers by drawing down on 32 predefined actions. The top five solutions by votes were strengthening prime contractors' commitment to subcontractors, 42 votes. Increase access to agency programs, officials, and decision makers, 32 votes. Now, there is a link here, which we're opening up the PDF right now so we can get right on back into it and continue our discussion on this because, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get this information in place else, okay? Now, three, make large contracts more manageable for small businesses, 32 votes. Increase the number of small businesses visible to the federal buyers, 27 votes. Improve procurement forecast tools, 23 votes. DOE intends to take in consideration these ideas as well as other data generated from crowdsourcing campaign when addressing barriers to entry into DOE's procurement practices. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, DEI, funding opportunity announcement pilot program. In March of 2021, that's over a year ago, DOE ran a pilot program through the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy requiring all financial assistance applicants to submit a plan demonstrating how federal-funded financing assistance projects will incorporate diversity, equity, inclusion elements to promote the representation and participation of different groups in the R&D space. 11 FOAs were issued as part of the pilot program. As part of the application, EERE applicants were required to submit a DOEI plan that describes the applicant's future actions to foster welcoming and inclusive environment, support people for the groups underserved in science, technology, engineering, and math. It's called STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Advance equity and encourage the inclusion of individuals from these groups in the project, either from the applicant's own staff of sub-recipients like and MSI, as well as describe the extent of the project activities will be located in or benefit underserved communities. Well, Brother Colleen, with STEM for US, is not wasn't aware it is. To develop a DEI plan, applicants need to identify, evaluate their internal processes and outreach methods to determine whether there is an institutional barrier in their hiring practices, as well as examining their partnerships with groups in underserved communities. The plan further requires at least one smart office, specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time-related milestone per budget period, supported by metrics to measure the success of proposed action. The DEI plan were evaluated as part of the technical review process incorporated into the award if selected. In addition to requiring the DEI plan, the EER added a DEI-specific program policy factor for the FOA template program policy factors allow selecting financial and flexibility consider factors other than technical merit. Through this pilot program, EERE set up a team of track questions, issues, and results and acquires significant information which will inform the development of a comprehensive or can be expanded across the department. The pilot program helped identify, number one, the tools needed to apply the approach more broadly across the department, internal and external training needs, and internal outreach. And number two, areas that need improvement, development, guidance for programs and financial assistance staff specifically to DEI plan negotiations and administration of DEI requirements, the DEI plan template, merits review process, and review selection. The pilot also allowed DOE to build business processes on small scale that could be replicated across the department. So they're telling you in this particular document, and ladies and gentlemen, this is deep. Media coverage of the department's focused engagement with underserved individuals and communities. Essence.com. See, this is the kind of BS I'm talking about. Essence.com. DOE fund for organization prior to climate solutions for black communities. What about talking to the National Association of Blacks in Solar, a boss, Black Owners of Solar Services? These are the only two organizations that I know in the renewable energy sector, and I'm president of one of those organizations, which is the National Association of Blacks in Solar. These issues, they're like chasing you chasing the dog chasing his tail. The Navajo Nation press release. Now, you got three things that were done in October, May, and August of 2021. And this is what they call the outreach. In addition to the PA-led activities, DOE's office continued to create programs to increase outreach efforts. For example, the December 2020 Office of Legacy Managers introduced a STEM pilot program, Go With the Flow, which aims to teach Navajo youth about groundwater through hands-on activities that are relevant to their environment, teach valuable skills, encourage activities, plans, proposals, sell, and technology. Outreach and business development is designed to address equity in employment and development space by strategically focusing outreach business development efforts to guide potential loan applicants through the process and manage the resulting relationship. The pages that follow include the overall DOE's equity plan, five key DOEs will undertake for the long term to facilitate equity within the department and facilitate equity inclusion of the department's mission. Action one, address borrowed gaps in data collection to facilitate data information decision making. Ladies and gentlemen, these are very, very important things. And I'm going to take the time to sort of look at some of these things because, number two, increase opportunities for new entrants into DOE's acquisition. Under each one of these areas, they have quite a bit of information and data that you can read from the PDF. Number three, increase participation by individuals, institutions, or underserved DOE, RDAs, and other programs through their financial assistance. These will include your HBCUs, the ones that I bet may have someone to try to address this. Number four, ban strategic tribal stakeholder engagement in all DOE's business areas. Number five, improve access to equity in DOE's weatherization assistance program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 18 pages, and I don't have time today to go through 18 pages, but this information can be found where? By logging on to the positivechangepc.com. Clicking on our news and events tab, you will see the title, which I provided to you at the top of the show in our introduction, and you will be able to, in fact, get to this. Now, we're going to take let everybody know who brings them this show. Once again, this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American owned design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, and other renewable energy companies that are African-American owned to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar and other renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Go over to our GoFundMe link, and you will find that. Also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks and Solar. So with that being said, you can get more information by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Now, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause once again, and we'll be right back here as we change gears here.
Song worth singing, I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we indicated before we took our commercial break, that we were going to be switching gears for the rest of our show. Now, the U.S. Department of Energy Equity Plan, as we just covered, and we provided, I think, quite a bit of very, very valuable information, but launched in May of 2021, a solar app is a web-based platform that automates solar permitting for local governments and permitting authorities. Now, this is a major, major, major issue, ladies and gentlemen, for solar companies, especially solar energy companies that are doing businesses in markets such as the DMV market, because you can go through quite a bit trying to get the permits and get everything you need to put a PV system on one person's roof. Launched in May of 2021, Solar App is a web-based platform that automates solar permitting for local governments and permitting authorities. To date, the platform in nearly 20 jurisdictions and has produced more than 7,600 permits across the country. Join us on Thursday, July the 1st, 2021, at 1 p.m. Webinar hosted by the International Code Council, that will discuss the solar app growth in 2021. It will feature a panel discussion with the U.S. Department of Energy officials, researchers from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and the mayor of Phoenix, Arizona, about the impact of the solar app has in communities across the country. Today's NREL published a report highlighting the impact of the solar app and its year of operation. Researchers found that the typical solar app project completed a full process for permits to pass inspection about 13 days sooner than the traditional projects, based on comparison of the median timelines that has enabled the installation of 42,241 kilowatts of renewable residential solar. So this is basically done for residential solar. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to refresh our browser here. And we're getting ready to provide for you a short YouTube video that addresses these issues from the Department of Energy.
Council and mayor are very interested in people using these renewable energy sources. We have paper plans coming in. It would take days to process to get back out. The system here was a paper system that was all manual.
Online, it takes 10 to 15 minutes, and it's done. It's been I think the biggest benefit for the solar and contractors is the reduction in time. Time from application before the sales with their customers to the installation. And we're already seeing
a jurisdiction, but really have to look seriously hard inward not to take advantage of this because of the time saving.
Is that next logical step in residential solar? I would definitely recommend that other jurisdictions with communities use solar apps.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the information concerning the solar app.
Welcome to everyone. I'm James Jensen, today's webinar chair. I'm a contractor supporting the Office of Indian Energy Policy and Programs webinar series. Today's webinar, titled Microgrid for Resilient Electricity Systems, is the third webinar of the 2021 DOE Tribal.
You just heard the information on this particular solar app process and how it has basically revolutionized process of getting these permits out. Now, whether the state of Maryland, Prince George's County, Baltimore City, Montgomery County, or any of the surrounding, in the Washington, D.C., or in our surrounding jurisdictions in the DMV market area have adopted this solar app process for permitting, I'm not aware of that. That's a call out, calls I'll have to make, but I wanted to make sure that this information was made available on today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this show every week that I bring to you in this podcast, in this format, is programmed around current issues that are coming out of our federal agencies. And what we're going to be doing in the very, very near future, we're going to be doing some shows, and you'll be listening to online webinars and interviews with the Secretary of Energy and different things that have come out of the Department of Energy in the form of webinars that we will present in their entirety. Doing our podcast is when we don't have guests, because every week, believe me, there's changes, there are things that are going on in this renewable sector, and we need to be on top of the data and information, because if you don't know what's going on, then you're in the dark. As simple as that. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to refer everybody back to our website at positivechangepc.com, positivechangepc.com, and you'll be able to go to our News and Events tab, and under our News and Events tab, you'll be able to find what we're trying to do and show what we're trying to accomplish here on this platform of solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, I'm going to close a few minutes earlier today, ladies and gentlemen, but I want you to remember that this show is brought to you every week by who? The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, known as our HBCUs. Also, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar and other renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know it's brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by doing what? Logging on to positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You want to click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to get that information under our GoFundMe link. Also, it's also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks and Solar, and you can get more information on that by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Well, we've basically shared what we wanted to say with you today here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So what we want to say to you in our closing points today is, ladies and gentlemen, when people put out information, which the Biden administration has put out about equity and inclusion, you got to question what that 13985 really means as it relates to that executive order. And what is the Justice 40 Initiative? All these things are supposed to have taken place, but I don't see any opportunities and changes for African-American-based firms. With the, in my communication. So with that being said, we don't want you to meet us here, gentlemen. We want you to meet us back here next week. With that being said, we'd like to close our show by saying go in peace as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Alive. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.